Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. It's Tuesday, November the 27th, and if you're really, really fortunate and a really good golfer, you're in the Bahamas. The rest of us aren't. And we'll be talking about the Hero World Challenge a little bit, Tiger's group of buddies that get together this time every year and make a little bit of money and have a lot of fun. Also, what's going on with the Tiger Phil, the aftermath, if you will, of the Tiger Phil Challenge and all other things going on in the world of golf. We had a great, great show headed your way. We have Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour veteran, and of course you hear him on PGA Tour radio all the time in his broadcasting career. So we'll talk to Paul here in just a second. You probably hear him. He's in his car heading to his trainer, getting ready. The dates are ticking by where Paul's going to be 50. He'll be on the PGA Tour Champions before we know it. So get ready for Paul. Frankie Bassett in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
Hey buddy,
you're getting ready to hit the road yourself, aren't you?
I am heading toward Charleston to play in the Santee Winter Classic and play some courses around the Charlotte, Charleston, Santee, South Carolina area. So it's going to be fun. A lot of fun. It's going to be cold.
Going to be chilly.
Going to be chilly.
But it'll be fun. But
yeah.
It'll be fun. Yeah, you'll get through it. You'll get through it. Yep. It'll be all right.
I'm making purchases of heavy clothing today.
heavy clothing and heavy drinks.
Yes, lots of fireballs, as suggested by our guest.
There you go. See, so Paul Stankowski can do a lot more than just analyze swings. He can analyze what you should have in your golf bag when it dips below, well, if you're in Texas, below 60 degrees. It's cold. So, yeah, we got to get ready for that one. And he's here. As always, we love having him. Stanky is with us. Paul Stankowski, how you doing today, Paul?
Man, boys, I'm doing good. My car reads 43 degrees right now in the great state of Texas. And
wow.
It's chilly. You know, we get some cold days down here, and my overseeded rye is had some frost on it when I was pulling out of the driveway. So it's cold enough. These are kind of days I don't like to be playing any golf. Personally, I'd rather be going to a coffee shop and just chillaxing with my buddies, drinking some French roast or something.
Pike's
well,
place.
You'll be,
there you go.
You're heading to train, so we'll talk about your future with that in just a little bit. The weather is going to warm up, by the way, Paul. I don't know if you've seen the forecast, but in the mid-70s in the next few days here, so I'm getting out playing myself tomorrow. So I can't wait for that, but that's story for another time. Let's ask you.
Wait a minute. I have a statement. You're getting out to play tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yippee, so to speak.
Where are you playing tomorrow?
What?
Yippee. God. Get it? Yippee. Yip.
Oh, yips. Oh, yips. Oh, yippee. You're making fun of my yips.
I'm making fun of your yips.
Oh, I get it. No, I didn't get it.
Tim's got the yips.
Nah, well, everybody's got the yips. I love
Where are you playing tomorrow, Tim? I'd love to come and watch.
I'm playing at Prestonwood tomorrow.
There you
Beautiful
go.
Club Corp golf course.
Our sponsor.
So, yeah. So get out with a few different friends. So we should have a good time. Anyway, Stank, let me ask you, and Frank, obviously you're in on this too because we haven't talked about this recently. Right after Thanksgiving, everybody knows that everybody had a turkey coma going on, and I don't know how many, I haven't seen the numbers yet, have tuned in to watch the Tiger Phil Challenge. There was a lot of criticism beforehand, but still a lot of interest and intrigue. So people got on, and you couldn't all get in, so they made some of it free. We'll get into that as well. But just your overall thought about it, Frank, because I know Paul didn't get to see much of it. Frank, I know you did. What did you think about the broadcast?
I thought the broadcast was poor, to be honest. I mean, and not to hammer our friends, because we know all the broadcasters. It was very poor because they talked. We had the players mic'd. We had the caddies mic'd. We had the opportunity to listen. I don't care about the smack as much as the opportunity to listen in on the thought process and the conversations from tee to second shot to green. And we didn't get to hear it because they talked over the players and the caddies the entire time. It was just ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I thought that the the whole thing didn't come off nearly like they wanted it to. We talked about this before. How are they going to fill the time, you know, while they're walking? So maybe you got to go to golf carts. Phil, if you noticed, by about the fourth hole, was out of breath as he was walking in the fairway because he had to walk 300 yards to get to his ball. He was going breathing heavy. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. The best part about it, Paul, was the fact that they had Charles Barkley on there with Samuel L. Jackson because it was sponsored by Capital One. So they had in-broadcast commercials, if you would, between Samuel L. And the funny commercials with Charles. They had the most entertaining things to say. And Charles even at one point goes, America, I can't say it any other way. This is terrible. These guys suck. And he was commenting that Phil and Tiger couldn't make birdies. They couldn't make putts. It was anticlimactic. There was a lot of money in the line, but none of us were going to gain from that. So it really didn't come off. Are you a fan of the skins game kind of format or this Tiger-Phil thing going forward, Paul?
I would be a big fan if it was like the old skin game. Four guys or girls, whatever, four pros, and let them have at it. That was a lot of fun. I watched it every year that the old skins game was on. It was entertaining. There's enough cast of characters. It could be a lot of fun other than watching Phil and Tiger. I mean, I think the best of it was all the pre-event hype. And you know, I think the best thing that ever came from this was Tiger saying when asked, was it by Ernie or asked by somebody about his ability to get in Phil's head during the day. And he's like, I've been in Phil's head for 20 years. I love that. That's it. He should have just canceled the rest of the deal because that was classic.
That was
downhill
funny.
From there.
That was yeah. funny.
But you know what? I you know, honestly, I didn't watch much. We were driving home from Houston back to Dallas after Thanksgiving, and I was watching on Twitter, and I basically was, you know, watching it through live tweets of people, you know, I saw the highlights, you know, and Tiger chipping in was exciting, you know, the gimme 4 and 5 footers, I think that was great. You wanted it to end on a birdie. They could have been there all day as poorly as they were. Maybe eventually they would just have like a putting contest or something. But you know what? I would much rather have seen, you know, Phil and Bones take on Tiger and Steve Williams, you know, in an alternate shot format. Like that would have been pretty cool. Or imagine if the loser of this thing had to retire from golf. That would be exciting, right? I mean, one of those guys with you're playing for like pink slips, right? That would be pretty cool. But you know, I'm sure it was entertaining for the folks, and you know, I who were the announcing crew? I know I saw Jake on the crew. Who else was a part of the team?
I actually did know a couple of the guys. The guy who was I think was sitting with Jake and. Who else did they have? That Darren Clark were on the set. I don't think I knew that announcer there, Ernie Johnson from the NBA show that
Ernie
we all
Johnson
watch with right. Tiger. I mean with
yeah,
Shaq
Charles and Kenny
and yeah. Charles. They were on there with Charles and with Samuel L. Jackson and Pat Perez. They threw him into the mix because
okay.
I think
all
they right. looked so, at Pat with his attitude and saw it, and Pat did throw in some. Snide remarks and made fun of Barkley and stuff like that to try to stir up the pot a little bit because the rest of them were, other than Barkley, were professional and talking professional. And Jake was kind of just being a – so there wasn't – if you're going to have a different kind of an event like this, which is obviously a one-off type, then you need one-off type of announcing.
Well, they had Natalie Gulbis
straight
as
on,
the on-course well, reporter, and I think she had one thing to say. That was it.
Yeah,
just
never
boom.
Saw her. Never saw her.
Never saw her, never really heard
and,
from
and,
her but once.
And in all honesty, when she was on, all I could say was Natalie Gulbis was a pretty decent golfer in her time. You know, I mean, there was no reason to have her there.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. So it was not a good production they put together. I anticipate if they want to do it again, they're going to figure out how to fix the whole thing. And I think it's better even if they do, you said force, if they did two teams against each other, I might be entertained to watch Rory and Jordan Spieth play Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler or whatever.
Rose.
Pick four guys,
put
maybe,
Rose
and
there.
Maybe DJ's not the right guy because DJ doesn't talk enough. But you get personalities who have some game, obviously, and that might be entertaining to see the two of them going back and forth and one making a challenge and the other one going, whoa, what are you spending my money? You know, whatever. But these two guys, and by the way, by the time they got to what, the ninth, tenth hole, Frank, they stopped talking about Phil and Tiger.
They got serious.
There was
serious.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger said that.
All about the money.
Paul, he said, I started focusing more on shot making than talking.
Yeah.
So imagine
and you
that.
Had to
imagine
anticipate
a,
that.
Imagine a team competition, right? A skins game team competition where, like, say there's three different formats. The first hole is best ball. The second hole is four ball. And the third hole is scramble. And then you rotate on that deal. So every hole is a different format. And have four teams, right? Have four teams going at it just all at one time. You know, big old, what is that, eight? Four plus two, four times two. Have an eighth of golf.
You tap.
How cool would that be? You know, every third hole would just be four guys, you know, playing. But that would be something like that that's interesting, that's different. I mean, we watch golf all the stinking time, and it's the same thing.
Yeah. Why was this going to be good? I mean,
let's do something different that we've never seen before.
Even when they were talking in this one, which was mostly, like I said, in the first four or five holes, they were talking about their kids and their family, which I'm not saying is bad, but they never then got to the point where you're going, okay, they had the courtesy talk about, hey, how are the kids? How's it going? Oh, everything's fine. To, man, I guarantee you, this next shot, you're not going to do this. Or you're not. There was all this bravado, right, in the pre talking about it and what they're going to do. And Phil makes his birdie on the first hole bet and all that. And then it just slowly fades into nothingness. And at some point, you got to, I mean, do a Wolf game.
That's what I was thinking. Wolf.
Back in the day, I produced a Wolf game actually that was on CBS. We had Bill McAtee was our announcer for it, and we did it in North Carolina at a place called
Wolf
the Cliffs.
Hammer.
The Cliffs.
Yeah. You got Wolf Hammer, and you change your partners, right? So who's on the tee and who's like your shot?
And you know what I'd like to see though? How about even this format where you have a Phil and a Tiger and a Tony Romo and a Mark Rippon or another really good amateur golfer.
Smoltzy.
Have those guys team up. That'd be kind of fun too, where you've got a pro and you got an amateur and it's, whatever, alternate shot hammer. I mean,
let's be honest. The reason people like Barkley, he's the worst golfer on the planet. And now that we've landed on Mars, on two planets. If you put
the yips anymore.
He's worse than anybody in the universe, but he's fun. He's fun, right?
Well, let's get him back with Hank, and he'll get him back.
Yeah, he'll get the yips back. But whatever his game is, I'm just saying he entertains people. So if you're going to put on a broadcast, then you have to entertain people. This isn't for PGA championships. This isn't for majors. It's for personal money that they're all getting. None of us are gaining from all that. So what you have to do is say, all right, I want to see why you're going to be competitive. I want to hear about it. I want to be entertained by this because it's not about you winning other than your own pocketbooks increasing. And that's what they missed out on. There was a chance to make this fun and entertaining, but they picked two guys they thought were the two best big-name guys 10 years too late, and they need to revamp this and say, okay, here's how we can do it. And I hope they will. I hope they'll figure out
it's
a better way to do it.
Is the Match not a Tiger-Phil corporation now? The Match. They own it.
I don't know.
That's my understanding. So I don't know if I'm being fed erroneous information, but my understanding is that Tiger and Phil formed a corporation, and it is the Match, and they'll be producing more of these things. So
not necessarily with them, though.
Maybe they'll take our advice and do something different. I like the all three, the scramble, alternate shot, and best ball.
I love that.
Do that every other hole, or they could even flip a coin. They flip a coin or they roll the dice, or since it's Vegas, you roll the dice and figure out which one it is, and then every hole you don't know. And that'd be pretty cool. Phil's turn to tee off. Let's roll the dice. Oh crap, alternate shot. Phil's got a hit. Okay, we're in the tree.
Well, you don't know. The trees are the water. You're never sure with Phil. He's an equal opportunity misser.
And so, I think from an announcer standpoint, I think what you need to do is just leave Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley, put that TBS NBA team together as the announcers, and then put like David Faraday and who else could be the
McCord
walking guy?
Get McCord.
McCord. Hey, get them on the golf course with packs on their back and walking down the fairway with the guys. That would be, now all of a sudden, it's entertainment when those guys talk.
And I'll drive the liquor cart. I'll drive the beer cart.
That boggled my mind why they didn't have someone on the course, a fairy, talking with these guys, because you can't, we've all seen it. Golfers and athletes, no offense here, Paul, are not necessarily on their own great entertainment, right? They're not good talkers. They're not people that you just say, hey, give them a microphone, put them on the stage, let them talk for 30 minutes, and they'll entertain you. No, they can talk golf and all that. So you got to get somebody who interviews them, who talks. If you got Barkley out there with them saying, Tiger, you're terrible. I mean, you can't make a putt to save your life. Then at least there's some give and take. There's some humor. There's some fun. Don't just expect these two guys to suddenly go, hey, you're mic'd. Therefore, you're going to be entertaining, because they're not.
Yeah. You know what made the skins game of back in the day the most fun were the characters and personalities.
Trevino,
players
couples. Yeah.
Lee Trevino.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's
Lee
the best.
Trevino.
Yeah.
He's talking as he's hitting. Peter Jacobson, did he play it a little bit?
Yeah.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Boom Boom is, I mean, Freddie is awesome. And
he won everything.
But anyway, all that to say, I think we've what's the old saying in Texas about a horse?
Beat that dead horse enough.
Yeah.
We're talking with Paul Stankowski, and okay, I'm going to shift gears on you, Paul.
So wait a minute. Before you do that, Tim, let me stop you. I wanted to throw something in about Paul Stankowski. So I'm watching Masters highlights over the years, and of course Tiger's win in 97. So I'm watching it over the holiday weekend with a lot of family, everybody around, and I said, look, there's Paul Stankowski. Now, Paul, you were in second place at one time in that Masters.
All right.
Okay.
I think I was in first place at one time, actually.
Well, yeah, you were,
but
as a matter of fact.
It was Thursday. It was Thursday.
It was Thursday. Yeah.
I think that was the year that John Houston holed it from the 10th fairway on the 18th hole for eagle to snip me and be the low round of the day. Yeah, that if that was the year, I'm still bitter.
Yeah,
about that
dirtbag.
Doesn't sound like it.
But it was fun watching Paul in a great golf swing.
You were in the second
stud.
Last group.
Yeah.
Were you not, Paul?
I was.
Were you behind Tiger?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I was right in front of Tiger, on Sunday.
I mean, right in front of him, So, good views to see all those shots coming in, on Sunday.
I spent a lot of time.
Everybody was second.
Looking back.
Oh.
I know. Yeah.
So, but let me ask you about the big wedding that took place over the week.
That's
Jordan
right.
Spieth, everybody's favorite golfer, gets married to his longtime fiance girlfriend that they've been together for a long, long time. And so there we go. Down the road, married, his roommate's gone. The decorations, everything's different in the house. You've got new couches and whatever.
There goes
so I'm asking you, as a golfer or as a athlete, how will life change, because we know it always will, for Jordan, being Jordan Spieth, the great golfer that he was, bad year for him this past year. Now he's married. How does it change things for him?
You know what? That's a good question. Ask me in 5 years.
I'm going to ask you right now.
Well... And why I say that is because we don't know. There's been plenty of golfers who, once they've gotten married, played better. I couldn't tell you who they are, but I'm just assuming there's plenty of golfers. And then there's plenty of golfers who played worse. I'll tell you what's going to happen. One, as you know, professional athletes, I'd say people who are who have jobs, and you have to be a little selfish, right? Because you have to, you know, when it's your time, if you've got things you got to do, you got to do it. As a professional athlete, you're not only on when you're on the road. You know, when Jordan comes home, he's in the gym, he's at the course. And so there's a lot of selfish time, because you have to be selfish. You have to commit a lot of your free time around your job. And it's, like I say, he might play 22 events a year, but there's 48 weeks a year that he's on the grind. And now that, you know, his roommate is his wife, not a couple other buddies. It's a different story. And I mean, obviously they've known each other for a long time, and she understands the gig, and I get that, but it is a different deal, and every married couple has to learn how to live with each other and that type of thing. But I don't think it's going to affect Jordan one bit in a negative way. I don't. Could it have affected him this year? You know, the whole leading up to it and the extra distraction, because that's the thing. Professional athletes have to learn how to deal with distraction. Especially athletes in sports that are slow, like golf. I don't think there's anything like it, where you have a lot of time on your hands to think, and you only have to focus for a little bit of time leading into a shot. You know, it's hard to be distracted on the basketball court or on the hockey on the ice, because you're constantly, you know, engaged in the game. Where in golf, you're not. You better not be, because it's 5 hours of being engaged will blow your mind. But I think that, you know, the distraction of being engaged and you know, what's going on in the future, you know, all that stuff, it's there. It's a reality. Now he's married. You know, I think, you know, Jordan Spieth is crazy talented. And, you know, he's relied on his putter as his, you know, I would say his strength, short game putting. And so you get to a point where you're when the putter cools off, you don't score as well. So, you know, that's a fact. But as far as getting married, I don't think it's going to affect him in a bad way at all.
Yeah, I think it's something that he will have to learn. He probably has figured out a lot of it because they have been together for a long time. But, you know, then family comes in, assuming they start having kids or whatever. So, it's something that we've talked about a lot of times with Tiger, because it was well known that Tiger's dad had suggested he not get married too early because he's going to have to dominate the world and be focused on dominating the world of golf. And it's really hard to do that when you got to get home and you got to do this and the other commitments. You just get split up a little bit.
You have somebody else you got to think about. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, golf ain't going to last forever. That's for sure. And the body will break down and eventually the putts won't go in. And eventually you're going to be like every other professional athlete that ever has walked the face of the earth. You're going to be retired. And so at that point, what do you got? And if you have all you have are trophies, you're going to have a miserable existence for the rest of your life. So
you and your trophy.
He's got Annie, and you know what? If he plays for the next 30 years and then retires at 55 on the senior tour, you know, hopefully he's going to have Annie and his kids and his family, and then golf will be something that he'll look back on and go, that was a lot of fun, but then he'll embrace this new season of life. So I think marriage is fantastic. It can be difficult for the athlete, but it could also be so rewarding. Now you go to a tournament, you travel with your wife, eventually your kids until they go to school, and you get done playing golf, you do your little post-round, you know, tune-up or wind-down, and then you go back and you have someone to hang out with that takes your mind off the game, you know, which is really cool. And I think there's a lot of benefit that go along with a distraction, and it goes back.
Were you married your whole career, Paul?
I was. I got married in 93, January 93, and I got my card that fall. I started my rookie year. Our 1 year anniversary was on a flight from Honolulu to Los Angeles, the red eye that landed literally 3 minutes after the big earthquake, January 17th, 1994, that rocked LA. We were wheels down on our approach when it was happening, and we saw it from the sky. All we saw were blue flashes all over the LA basin, and then grids going black, and we didn't know what was going on. But the whole plane was full of tour players, and that was weird. So that was our 1 year anniversary, was a red eye.
I'll never forget
flight.
That. Yeah.
Didn't professional golf, so romantic.
Well, we we've all been around Jordan and Annie and know them well. I mean, they've been together, like you say, a long time, all the way from junior high or whatever. She knows the gig, as you said earlier. She is so supportive of him and everything that he does, and that family foundation. So, I agree with Paul, Tim. It's not going to affect Jordan if any way, but positively, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
Because Annie has been working in her charitable foundation for a long time. Now she's pulling away from that more and spending more time with Jordan, which is what he wanted anyway. So.
Yeah,
I think
he's got nothing but a hopeful, positive things for this year. It was, like I said, a down year in 2018. So let's see how it all turns around. Paul, before we let you go, and I know you're heading to training and you got to get down to 153 pounds, so I know you're working hard at it. Cameron Champ, I'm curious what your thoughts are on Cameron Champ. Is he changing the game, or has it already been changed? I mean, we all go back to Tiger, then you're like, well, actually, there was Daly before that, and there was guys have always been bombers and bigger drivers,
DL3.
Even if it meant 275 yards back in the day was a long drive. But Cameron Champ, and we talked to Art Selinger about this, he said he's crazy long, like way past Rory and DJ. Will it just keep escalating like this? Is Cameron Champ just what we're always going to see every 4 or 5 years, another big guy who somehow figures out close to get – are we closing in on a 400-yard average on the PGA Tour in the next 20 years?
I don't see that. I don't see the distance getting much longer just because I think that at some point, you know, they're going to, you know, bring the ball back, the driver back, or something, you know, start fining players for hitting it over 300 yards. That's what I still think they ought to do that. Fine every player for hitting it over 300 yards every time, like $100, and pay the money to the guys who don't hit it at 300 yards, like me. That'd be good.
It's coming to, from anyway, you, yes. Yeah.
But
good
on
idea.
A serious note, it's interesting to watch. My take on this whole thing, guys, is that, you know, the clubs that I grew up with, I hit wooden clubs. I know you guys both hit wooden shafts, but the shafts were steel.
Was that right in there, didn't he?
But they were wooden headed, you know, steel shafted, you know, it had the windings on the neck. It was crazy. But you couldn't swing these things really hard because they were so whippy. And the head was just a little bit bigger than the golf ball. So the harder you swung, the better the chances that you were going to hit off the end of the club and it was going to go sideways. So the kids now, and I say kids now, they grew up playing with graphite shafted, big headed golf clubs that you could swing as hard as you want, not afraid to miss the face. Everything was kind of geared to kind of go, you know, fairly straight. So now with TrackMan, with the fitness craze being as big as it is, you're starting to see the fruits of the science behind the game of golf. And that's what's happening. Cameron Champ, you look at his golf swing, it's so smooth. He's got rhythm and it's balanced and he crushes it. And you watch my swing, my feet are everywhere. My head flies all over the place. I'm swinging like as hard as I possibly can and it just goes nowhere. So there's science behind it. And he doesn't know it because he answered the question a few weeks back. He's like, I don't know. I don't yet ask my instructor, you know, why I hit it so far, but he does. And the fact is the guys are able to swing clubs, test shafts, test head, test balls, and everything is matched properly. And then they're able to swing as hard as they humanly possible can, and, you know, tweak accordingly and they're bombing it. So I think you could get some guy that's 7 foot tall, built like an athlete, that hits it 400 yards on average. That might come. Who knows? Imagine Dirk Nowitzki swinging like Cameron Champ. He could probably hit it a long way.
He probably could.
Or LeBron James. If LeBron James spent 5 years of his life working with Butch Harmon, you think Butch might be able to get this guy to start pounding it? Maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that to be said, you got to think that the distance will eventually stop growing, but you're going to have more and more guys hitting it forever and a day, to where guys like me are going to be an anomaly out there that, you know, aren't, you know, if you hit it, you're like, who are you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different world for sure. And I think you're right. At some point they'll bring it back, I guess, you know, but you can't, I mean, they're saying Cameron Champ, if he wanted to, could average 350 plus. You know, he doesn't always hit driver and all that stuff, and three wood sometimes here and there. But we're already getting to those kind of numbers. It didn't seem that long ago that John Daly was killing it when he was hitting at 307, you know, for an average on the tour. And here we are, a guy that can hit it 50 yards past him on an average. So, yeah, it's interesting to see, but we'll see what they do.
Before
with
that was Love, Davis Love III, and David Duvall. Were the big sticks? 283.
I think one of the longest yearly driving totals prior to like the last couple years was Hank Keeney, and Hank Keeney, I think one year averaged, and this was like 10 years ago, averaged 325 or something. It was
really,
yeah, I was gonna say 322, but yeah, he was really big. Yeah.
And that was over 10 years ago, I believe. That was freakishly long then, and too bad Hank got hurt, and you know, but he was the Cameron champ because Hank didn't look like he was swinging hard. It looked like he was swinging fast, but he was in balance and really good, fun to watch. And so, I don't know, man. I wish somebody could write a book or develop some sort of potion, because I would read it. I hate reading. I would take the potion, even if it tasted like mushrooms or something. I would consume it because I hit it so short that it's frustrating.
How do you practice balance, Paul, before we let you go? What would you give? What advice to an amateur would you give about working on their balance?
I think that would start in the gym, honestly. I think you need to work with a trainer on learning balance. You know, work with a chiropractor to make sure that your ankles and knees and hips are lined up. Make sure your trainer, your glutes are activated. If you don't have activated glutes, you're not going to be able to be balanced. And I'm being serious.
Sure.
You know, we take that Tiger's comment that everybody laughed about. It was so true. But anyway, yeah, it starts in the gym, learning balance, learning how to balance on balance boards and spongy pads. And then you can take that into your golf game. But I would say as a golfer, go to the driving range and start swinging the driver and start really slow in balance and swing and keep increasing your speed until you lose your balance and then back off a little bit. Just there's your balance point. I don't know. Not everybody can swing hard, fast, and stay balanced. It doesn't happen. But Cameron Champ seems to be kind of a freakish athlete.
An anomaly. Yeah. For sure.
And that's what we're seeing.
All right, well, Paul, we do appreciate your time, as always, and your insights, your comments, your quick math. I like that back then. You know, you added 4 times 2 and got to 8, so you've had a good day
like
so far.
I don't like the X's, the times thing. I'm good with adding 1 through 5.
I like the X's.
I need a new bottle of tungo oil to treat my driver shaft, you know.
Yeah, that'll get you more distance.
Shafts that Paul said we use. That was nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a slight but a powerful dig.
You think?
But, so good for you, Paul. Good for you. Well, have a good time working out. Stay training. What's your weight at right now?
You know what? I gained about 5 pounds over the holiday. I'm 183.5. I got to lose four pounds.
Put down the fork.
My goal is just to stay in the 170s. If I could stay 179 and a half for the rest of my life, I'd be happy.
You live with it, yeah. You can do it.
I feel good. I just got to get back. Had my bulletproof coffee again this morning. Got to make sure my carbs stay low. And this wintertime, man, it gets dark at like 5 o'clock.
I know.
So, like at 8 o'clock,
you gotta eat.
I already had dinner. I had dinner a couple hours ago, and I'm still not tired. So I can't wait for spring.
For spring.
Yes.
Get the sun out there a little bit more. All right, Paul, we appreciate it. Have a good workout. Have a good week this week, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Take care, Paul.
Okay.
See ya.
Paul Stankowski. You can hear him doing a lot of stuff on PGA Tour Radio and Sirius XM and all over the place.
PGA Tour Live, yeah.
Yep, PGA Tour Live.
Yeah, and so coming soon to a tournament
Champions
near you.
Tour near you. Yeah. I mean, that's what he's gearing up for.
He's going to play in some web events, isn't he?
But there's that exemption. Remember, he's talked to us about that when you're 48, 49, very few non-golfers know about this. If you're a golfer, you do because you know what you're trying to get to. But they allow the guys who are trying to get to the 50 age mark and get on the PGA Tour Champions to get in some web.com events to just do what I'm talking about, which is stay loose, stay in
tournament.
The game so that you're not just, you're not just coming out of hibernation for 6 years.
Tournament skills,
because that's what a lot of golfers do. You kind of lose your skills and you can't make cuts when you're 43, 4, or 5. So you stop playing and then you try to get back when you're 50. That allows them to do it. So, yeah, looking forward to it. We'll see. You know, when he says, by the way, that he's not that long, and Paul used to be fairly long back in that 97, 98. You know, he's hitting the ball in the 280s. And if you're on the Champions Tour, you can play it at 280 because I think, Frank, they play about 6,400 yards.
Yeah, right in there.
Courses, right? So if you're in 285, 290 range,
he's not.
You'll be all right.
He's short like Jordan Spieth's short, like Zach Johnson's short.
Yeah,
so.
But he's not Cameron Champ. I mean, that's the thing is there's always one guy that, you know, you're like, well, yeah, compared to that, we're all 70 yards. But he hasn't, as you've noticed, Cameron won the Sanderson Farms, but he hasn't won everything. So distance helps, certainly. but it doesn't mean that every long driver wins every tournament. Matt Kuchar just won again at Mayakoba. So once in a while, the short guys, and Kuch probably only hits it 302, right? That's short.
Yeah.
So they can make their way around
how
it.
Far
so, anyway, so you're heading
Jim,
out.
How far do you hit it?
I bet you, you know what?
About 245, 250?
I would say my average drive is probably in the 270, 270s,
yeah.
Probably something like that. I mean, I can occasionally you get rolling, you get all the stuff. I hit it over three, and then there's times where you pound it and you walk it off or figure it out, and you hit it 259.
No, I hate that. Wow. I hate that. Well, I caught that.
Really?
I caught that, and you go, what?
Yeah.
261?
Didn't go anywhere.
What?
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere. So,
well, I'm gonna make the trip, as you said. It's absolutely hot today in Nashville, 36 degrees. Please.
Mm.
There's a country song in there somewhere. So so I am going to make the trip to South Carolina, and I think we're going to be in the 60s over there, or high 50s,
yeah.
Mid 60s to 70 toward the end of the week. So, but I hope I can repeat. You know, last year I had that tournament won on the last day, and then couldn't put it together and ended up coming in second. So we'll see what happens this year. Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort will be joining me there to play alongside some more friends of ours. That damn caddy from Augusta that beat me will be there. And it's just going to be a great thing. This is a great event. Our listeners ought to check it out and maybe sign up for it next year. It gets filled up pretty quick. The four-ball Winter Classic, the Santee four-ball Winter Classic in Santee, South Carolina. And I'm going over early because we're going to be playing a bunch of different courses in the area for the week. And might see our buddy Art Salinger if he's in town, beat on his door, steal some of his vodka. So whatever it takes.
He's living around there? Yeah, it's all kinds of great golf around there. Isle of Palms. Yeah, and all the different areas that are
Kiowa
South
Island.
South Carolina's a golf mecca. I mean,
it's gorgeous over there. I love South Carolina.
Yeah.
I love Hilton Head too. I mean,
yeah,
love Hilton Head, and shout out to Palmetto Dunes Resort, which is our friend hosted us last year for the week after the Masters for the RBC, which we'll be doing again this year. So that'll be fun. And I don't know. And by the way, he mentioned TrackMan. Well, I want to talk about FlightScope for a minute before we go, because yours should be on its way this week, Tim. Mine's
good.
I've had a chance to play with it for like 30 minutes is all, because the weather's been so bad here in Nashville, but it is phenomenal. I've downloaded the apps, my iPad set up, the video set up on my iPad with the tripod, and man, it's going with me to South Carolina.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
It's bad cool. So go to flightscope.com, folks, and check it out. The Mevo, which is the one Tim's getting, is bad cool.
Yeah, get the Mevo,
cool.
And it syncs up with your phone. You get an app on your phone, and you can do a lot of stuff just while you're out there playing golf or on the range and you're hitting by yourself. You can overlay statistics over your swing, shoot video, and it's very, very neat. And I don't want people to think their heads exploding, like, oh, it's all I need is more numbers. It gives you the numbers you need. You don't have to look into everything if you don't want to. But if you want to know why your ball is going too much left and too much right or too high, too low, whatever it is, it shows you those things, and it can help. I mean, let's be honest, all of us, I don't care if you're 75 years old or 25 years old, you want to get a little bit more yardage, you want to hit a little bit straighter, all those things, and this device can really help you. I'm really looking forward to getting the Mevo.
I can't gush about it enough. It's bad cool, and the technology is awesome. So everybody hears the word TrackMan. Let me tell you something, FlightScope, folks. If you look out on tour on the range, you'll see a whole lot of FlightScopes sitting out there, because it is a fabulous device. And you don't have to have the one that the tour players have. I mean, they need numbers for days. We don't as amateurs. So the Mevo is perfect for the amateur, and it's in the $500 price range.
Yep. Very cool. Good time for a gift. Christmas time.
Christmas is coming. So real quick, before we go, let me give you my Thanksgiving scenario.
Okay.
Everybody's here. I go out and purchase. Can I say a brand name on this show if I'm going to hammer something?
I think you can.
I don't want to hammer the people, because it's a good product, I'm sure. But there's a brand of turkey fryer that is sold, electric fryer. I did not want the propane, because I did not want to end up in the Vanderbilt Burn Center for the holidays.
Okay.
So I buy this turkey fryer, big turkey fryer, $30 worth of oil that goes in this expensive turkey fryer, all set up outside. Seasoned, tested, ready to go. Turn it on. Come inside. Pour another glass of champagne. Everybody's drinking champagne. It's Thanksgiving. Everybody's celebrating. Everything's getting ready. The turkey takes about an hour or so to do. So I go back outside to check the temperature, and the turkey fryer went out. Died.
Ooh, totally. Really?
So here's this turkey that I've injected $10 worth of junk into. It's an $80 turkey. I've got a $150, $60 turkey fryer sitting outside that's dead, full of oil. Well, now we're at 2 o'clock. And you can't cook a 20-pound, 22-pound turkey at 2 o'clock in the afternoon unless you plan on eating at midnight, right? So, right. Did everything. Everything went wrong from that point on. I jump in the car. I blast to a local grocery store that happened to have these Boar's Head pre-cooked turkeys. Thank God they had two that I grabbed at 12 pounds apiece. Brought them back, put them in the ovens. 2.5 hours later, we finally got to eat Thanksgiving dinner. So save the day, but I'm sending a bill to this company that's based in Columbus, Georgia, by the way, that manufactures these turkey fryers, and they make smokers too. I was going to buy one, but not now.
Okay.
Anyway, almost ruined my whole Thanksgiving. Turkey fryer went out. I think it was God's way of keeping me from scalding myself or burning the home down. So,
or eating more fried food.
Good point. Maybe I didn't think about
maybe
that.
You need to just cook a regular turkey and not do the fryer thing.
I asked him if I could trade in my belt.
No,
the Brighton store. No, can I trade this belt in? It's really new, but it doesn't fit anymore. No.
It doesn't fit. Yeah. Suddenly doesn't fit after 4 days.
I know.
Hey, well, by the way, 41 degrees right now in Charleston.
Chilly.
But it'll warm up. It always warms up.
Yeah, it does.
You'll be fine. All right. Hey, everybody. We thank you so much for listening to us. The Hero World Challenge this weekend. We'll talk about it later in the week. And Tiger and a lot of the big dogs down in the Bahamas or out in the Bahamas. And it's always fun. It doesn't count for anything other than bank accounts. But it's a lot of fun to watch. And it gets you away from things. So if it's cold where you are, this weekend would be a great time to watch a little golf on the Golf Channel and the Hero World Challenge. Thank you to Paul Sankowski for joining us. As always, entertaining and informative. Thank you all for listening. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews, and please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.